Say good morning to each one. Welcome each one out. Good to have visitors here, friends, family. I probably don't need to say it. You already know it because I say it most every time. I do a lot better speaking one-on-one than to speaking to a large crowd. But God has brought us all together here this morning, and we're glad of that. My prayer as I studied here for this was that each one that would come through this door today would somehow, the need that they brought in would somehow be met today. And I don't know what your need was or what your desire was that you brought here, but we know God is able and excited about meeting us today. Pretty simple, straightforward passage I'm going to look at. But I'm a believer that the Christian life isn't supposed to be complicated. Maybe I want to oversimplify it sometimes. But the fundamentals or the basics of it are not supposed to be hard for us to grasp. Maybe implementing them and fulfilling them obviously takes a lot of effort and is very hard at times. But the understanding of being a Christian, I don't think should be that hard and complex. Turn with me to Luke 19. Luke 19, 1 to 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. This story of Zacchaeus, we've heard many times. We know it very well. And it probably gets used in children's classes maybe, or just a neat little packed story that we just think of this little short man Zacchaeus and the things that he did. But as I studied this passage out a little bit and spent some time thinking about it, I was tremendously blessed by the depth of the man Zacchaeus and the lessons that we can take from this story as Christians today. You know, it starts out with the basic things that we know. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and he likely took advantage of people. At least that's basically what tax collectors did at this time. And he was a Jew collecting taxes from his fellow mankind. He was probably very much disliked and actually hated for the position he held. And it said he sought to see Jesus. And that is the key of the change of Zacchaeus' life right there. He sought to see Jesus, not just for what he looked like, but it says for who he was. And that kind of a packed little statement on the end of that comment, for who he was. And we don't know the details of what Zacchaeus was actually facing in life at this point, where he was. We don't know how old he was. And we don't know the questions he was asking or the realities he was, what for struggles he had. But there was something going on in his life that he was starting to question, is there more to life than collecting taxes and being rich? Now, he had the comforts of what riches could bring him. So we see that he realized there was more to life than the comforts or the wealth. And he started to think, you know, he was hearing stories likely from other people about Jesus and what Jesus was doing and what Jesus could do. And he was thinking in his mind, you know, the area I'm dealing with, what could Jesus do for me? And he began to think about the weakness or the test or whatever it was that was kind of pushing him to question this thing. He purposed in his heart that I'm going to do what it takes to see Jesus. I need to see him. And my heart's cry is that I am at that place this morning, that you all are at that place. Do we have a desire to see Jesus for who he is? Not just to see him, but for who he is, and get a grasp of a reality of what who Jesus is and what he loves to do for the lost. We all have lost elements or aspects of our own life, and Jesus wants to come into that part of our life. He wants us to experience the healing of being saved from being lost to the point where it is imprinted upon us or so powerful what he has done for us that we then in turn want to pass that message on to those around us. But without that desire, we're not going to seek and we're not going to find. We're not going to be saved in the areas that we need saved in if we don't first pursue the desire that Jesus has put within all mankind. And I totally got ahead of myself, but this message is actually a message of salvation. There's those here likely this morning that have not asked Jesus into their heart and into their life yet. This is a simple story that if you're trying to grasp what salvation really is or how it happens or what it means, read the story of Zacchaeus. And I plan to go down through it here and maybe bring some of that out for us. But not only is it a story of the first salvation or being born again experiences, but it's so much, there's not that much difference with our initial first salvation born again experience than there is with the continual Christian life and that of sanctification. If we're alive Christian, we're actually re-experiencing salvation every day of our life. And it's not being born again. We don't want to look at it that way, that we're continually to be born again because of that aspect. But it is very similar in the process of sanctification. Is there's a you pursue Jesus because you still come up needy because we're mortal, sinful men. And even though Jesus washed our sin away, there's still areas of our life that need continual sanctification. It's not a once and done thing. If we take that approach, we have very much minimized the work that Jesus has done on the cross for us. And so, whether you're here this morning and have not experienced the initial experience of being born again or salvation, or whether we're here as Christians and want to be continually vibrant in our Christian life, that process must play itself out time and time again in our life, that of the seeking, the finding, and the making the connection, making a clear connection. And as we said, Zacchaeus had two obstacles in his life, physically you can say, but I like to spiritualize them for us here this morning. And most of our experience is a combination of physical issues with spiritual issues, really. It's a combination. But for Zacchaeus, it said he couldn't see Jesus because of the press, which was a crowd. There was a crowd of people around Jesus as he was endeavoring to go through Jericho or to Jericho. And Zacchaeus was short, physically short of stature, so he could not see him. And so the reality of it is, if we come to grips with who we are, mostly between us and Jesus, there is a crowd. There's some type of baggage or there's some type of obstacle that we can't clearly see Jesus many times because sometimes it's our issue, we don't want to clear it out, or when it comes to the physical shortness, we come up short, the saying is. We come up short many times, time and time again, in our walk with Jesus. Or I do. Like, we want to drag our selfishness into it. We want to take care of ourselves. We don't want to use humility. We don't want to admit that we need help. We don't want to deal with the areas of life that's crowding, that's maybe a fog, maybe it's a cloud between us and Jesus. Zacchaeus had a crowd that he had to clear out, somehow get around them, get above them, do something, because he was short. So what do we do in our shortcomings? Are we willing to go to do whatever it takes? The same as Zacchaeus was willing to do whatever it took. Now put yourself in Zacchaeus' shoes. This was a little guy. He was an adult man, we think, because he was a tax collector. And the people of the community knew him very well. They knew him as the man that reached into their wallet and pulled the money out. And they didn't like him. But so as he was going to see Jesus, he had all this stuff going through his mind, likely. You know, these people know me, and I'm going to try to force my way in through this crowd. And when they saw Zacchaeus come up, they stuck the elbow out, or they kicked him. Maybe really, actually literally, to say, what do you think you deserve to see Jesus for, you old ripoff? You don't belong in this crowd. Jesus is not for you. Go back home where you belong. But we don't know. Maybe I'm getting carried away. But Zacchaeus had issues that he couldn't actually connect or see Jesus. And so he had to come up with a plan. And that's the same for us. If we aren't intentional or put effort into seeing Jesus for who he is, there will always be some type of baggage or a screen between us making a true connection with him. And it takes intentionality. And coming to the point where you don't care what the crowd says, or you don't care what the crowd's going to do to you, you're going to make it happen one way or another. And so Zacchaeus got to thinking, you know, my only hope at this point is to get ahead of the crowd and get up high where I can see him. And so as he ran ahead and crawled up the tree, we know the story then as it goes. But again, the thing of he sought to see. I read somewhere that the definition or the meaning of the name Zacchaeus is pure in heart. And I just thought of the verse in Matthew 5:8, where it says, the pure in heart shall see God. So Zacchaeus realized that he had a need. And that we could correlate to the call. There comes a point in time in all of our lives where we realize that we have a need. And that is what we call the call. Jesus has a call on our life when we realize we have a need. Some other verses, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And we can ask, you know, it's pretty clear that there's a lot of effort in the verses I read. And there was a lot of effort that Zacchaeus had to put forth. Why does God require so much effort and intentionality on our part to actually see him for who he is? And I don't know. I tried to think of different examples. I didn't do real well with coming up with that. But, you know, the Bible, Christ and the church and marriage are often compared. And as you think of that, I marvel sometimes at, you know, men tend to be not as relational as ladies. I think we all kind of get that. Men can just more or less do their own thing, kind of, you know, this thing of sitting down, drinking tea face to face, not quite as necessary. Just go work shoulder to shoulder. Don't need to say much, and maybe we get each other. At least we think we do. We claim we do, without talking. But it's amazing that most men, when they desire to get married, somehow they find a way to relate to a lady in an acceptable way that the lady says yes, and it's all good. But so there's often a man is stretched out of his comfort zone to make that process happen. I mean, they're willing to climb a tree and look a little foolish if that's what the lady wants them to do. And so they'll kind of do what it takes. But what happens or can tend to happen after the wedding, the man has accomplished what he set out to do. He's now married and he's back to work. He's back to silent. And the lady, she's supposed to just get it and be shoulder to shoulder. And she was thinking, you know, this man really likes me. He loves me. He's going out of his comfort zone to meet my needs. And boy, when I want him, he's there. And he takes off work whenever we got something that I would like to do. But it can change. It did for me. I thought I accomplished what I wanted, and I'm back to work. I think that's similar to God and us in our relationship. You know, it's not a once he saves us and then we're back to work type situation. He wants us to continually be willing to get out of our comfort zone and do what he asks us to do and take a day off work whenever he has another job for us. I almost forget why I started on that. The effort. Why does it seem like it takes so much effort? Well, it's because it's a proof that we want God, or we realize we need God. For our wives, it's the proof, for lack of better terms, that we still do desire them, that we still do care them, about them, we still do love them. So Jesus and God, they want to see that continual effort. Not that they're, well, the Bible says God is a jealous God, and he wants to be number one, and that's not bad, because he is our creator, so he deserves that and desires us to continue to pursue him every day. In our modern day lingo, it's may we say God wants us to be full send. That these teenagers, they're always coming up with these new phrases, and I can't keep up with them. But full send it. God wants us to be engaged. And we talked about it in the Sunday school lesson a little bit. The crowd or the fog that's between us and Jesus, many times it can be anything. It can be good things that we're putting too much emphasis on for security or whatever. The obstacles can be many. The shortcomings can be many. So we see Zacchaeus, he ran ahead and climbed this tree. What did Zacchaeus really expect to happen? You know, he thought, you know, this is a way I get to see Jesus. But did he process any further what was going to happen when the crowd, did he assume that Jesus was going to just go on by with the crowd, and he got to see Jesus, and after the crowd passed, he would kind of timidly crawl back down out of the tree, and life would go on. I don't know that he actually process what was going to take place, but that really didn't matter, and that doesn't matter for us. Sometimes that is an obstacle for us because we think we need to meet Jesus, and we start thinking what he's going to tell us to do. That's not our place to tell Jesus how to meet our need. It's just simply getting the fog and the trash cleared out so that we can meet him. And I just like how as the crowd came by then, another verse before that, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So Zacchaeus had a boldness about him that he was willing to do whatever it took. You notice as Jesus came by and looked up and saw Zacchaeus, the first word out of Jesus' mouth was Zacchaeus, the man's first name. That's pretty powerful. That Jesus, because of the effort that Zacchaeus put forth, Jesus had time to meet him on a first name basis. Jesus had a whole crowd of people that had followed him however long, but there was one man that actually put forth effort that Jesus knew the desire of his heart, and he was going to meet him on a first name basis. Isaiah 43:1, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine." I don't know where you are in your walk of life, but for myself, I don't always see Jesus as clearly as I would like to. Sometimes there is a fog. And we use the statement that is very true, that if we feel distance from Jesus, that we are the ones that move. And that's very true. Jesus doesn't move away from us just simply because we did something wrong or we're not doing something right. It's like, well, this child of mine is not really worthy of my efforts anymore, and he just kind of walks off. That's not a very inspiring picture of who Jesus is. I don't think Jesus walks off from us, but we are the one that kind of strays away. And then maybe we want to turn around and all of a sudden just simply look back and see him clearly and think life should be easier than it is. I had to think of a little incident maybe for me, and a number of years ago I had a child. I still have a child, but this child had a habit of, like, if you go into a store, he would go ahead of me and actually go out the end of the aisle into the next aisle. And especially if they knew, or maybe I already used the pronoun, but knew where I was going, they would get there before me, just like go. And it would kind of irritate me. Well, it did irritate me, not kind of. And so what do? You're in a public place, you're in a store, you're supposed to be in control of a child, and we're responsible for children. So you're playing this. So you got to keep watch over them where they're at. But if you just tail along with that child, well, they just keep going. They know they're safe. Their parents are going to go wherever they do. They got it made in the shade then. They're very free. If they know their parents going to just always kind of be sure that you know where they are, then that just gives them more incentive that my parents are always going to just watch over me. I can do what I want to do. So I got to thinking, I'm not going down that route. So what do you do? So I thought, well, I'm going to hide. I'll just get out of the way. Because times before, you know, eventually they'd be sure they'd make that circle, make sure you're still in that aisle where they left you. And you could tell they'd go far enough, but they'd come, they always swing back like a rabbit does a circle if you got a hound on it. They were keeping track of me pretty well, but I thought this is not the way it should be. So whenever they get out of my sight, I'm going to step off the side where they can't see me and let them come back and realize that maybe the parent's not always going to be right where I think he's going to be, and try to send a message that's up for them to stay with the parent, not the parent chase them down. I'm not sure how it all worked out. But is that not maybe the same with God in our lives? You know, if we start just doing our own thing, we want to lead. We want to go where we want to go in our life. And we want to glance back and, yeah, Jesus, he's still there. God's still kind of just standing. He's trying to follow me along here. So I must be okay. I'll just go do what I want. God always has my back. He got me covered. That's not God's plan either as a parent. He wants us to follow him in his footsteps, not be leading him. So when we start straying too far, he's going to step off the side. He's going to hide a little bit, and it's going to take some effort for us to get back to where we belong. And I think that's God's way. It's not that he has ill intent, but it's that he wants us to get the message that it's up to us to follow him, not for us to lead where we want to go and have his blessing. And so that's salvation, sanctification. It takes effort, and we need to be intentional. So as Jesus came there and said, Zacchaeus, come down. He said, make haste. Get down out of that tree. I'm coming to your house. You think Zacchaeus thought that was going to happen? I'd say it caught him totally off guard. You know, he wanted to see Jesus for who he was, but did he want Jesus to actually come into his house? Like, how many of the tables did he have to clear the money off of and stick somewhere where Jesus wasn't going to see it? I don't know. Like, Jesus met him and it was for real about it. He said, I'm coming to your house. I want to abide with you today. And that's amazing. Zacchaeus, we see the obedience that he had. He came down, he took Jesus in, and he did exactly what Jesus said. And the amazing part about Zacchaeus was you could look at him as a terrible, sinful man, a rich man. You know, a lot of times we make this thing of, you know, Jesus connects with the poor, the down and out. And there's a true element to that. He does. And the poor down and out tend to, the only reason, if that is true, the only reason that's true is because the poor down and out are the ones that first of all realize they have a need. It's not because Jesus is picking a poor person over a rich person. I just like this story because Zacchaeus was a rich man. And it had nothing to do with the end of the story, though, actually, because it was Zacchaeus making a decision that I need to see Jesus and I want to meet him for who he is. And when he did that, and he left Jesus come into his heart, came in to abide with him. What happened? Zacchaeus voluntarily said, hey, this money issue, I'm going to restore, I'm going to make this thing right with anybody that I cheated. Jesus didn't have to say a word about what Zacchaeus needed to change in his life. But when that connection happened and Jesus came into his heart, Zacchaeus realized, you know, for me to keep the vision clear between the relationship clear, I need to deal with some of this stuff. And he told Jesus right then and there what he was going to do. You can call that confession, repentance. It's the culmination. And so that's the same for us today, no different. Behold, now is an acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And what did Jesus say? It was amazing. He said, this day is salvation come to this house. When Zacchaeus made that proclamation that I'm going to clean up my act, Jesus said, you did the steps of salvation. You did the steps of sanctification. Salvation is come upon you today. You are a saved man. You're a child of Abraham. What wonderful words. That's a very, very powerful thought. But maybe the favorite verse of the whole little story is verse 10. Where Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The story starts with Zacchaeus. It said he sought to see. And the end of the story, it ends up with Jesus is seeking to save. What a powerful combination that is. You know, I don't know if you have a habit of losing things very often or not. My wallet is maybe the dearest. It's pretty important to me, and it's the thing I lose too often. And every time I lose it, like, why don't I just put this thing somewhere every time that I don't lose it? But that's, my wife can testify that when I lose something, I kind of go in a different zone. Like, I got to find it. I can't go to bed tonight unless I find it. And I mean, I'm turning stuff up and blaming whoever's anywhere near. If I had a dog, I'd probably say they drug it off. But, you know, I'll find it in some vehicle door, glove box, or a windowsill, or my desk, or a pair of pants I wore last, somewhere. I've always been able to find it. But think, if my wallet was as diligent to find me as I was to find it, it wouldn't be that hard, probably. I mean, if that wallet's running around trying to find its owner, and the owner's, you know, they'd make a connection pretty quick, I would think. And I love this, that the thought in this story, that Zacchaeus sought to see, and Jesus seeks to save. If you got two parties trying to find each other, they're going to find each other. And that's exciting to me. We as Christians can find Jesus because he's hunting for us. And sometimes, yeah, he's hiding in the aisle or in the closed aisle, so that we got to put forth some extra effort to find him. But we will make a connection if that's the desire of our heart. So I just basically leave that with you. But back to salvation, sanctification. You see how Zacchaeus felt the need, which you could call the call, on his life. And what did he do about that? He started seeking. And in that process, you see the humility, that he didn't care what he had to do or what others thought about him. He was going to make a connection. So he felt the call. He sought. He had humility, and he was obedient when Jesus said, "I'm coming to your house." He came down out, and he took that. He was very obedient. And through that obedience and through that connection, he voluntarily repented of what he knew he should repent of. And what did that equal? That equaled salvation. Salvation came to his house that day. What does sanctification for us each day? As we go through that process, you have a need, you seek, you need to be humble in it, and you need to be obedient to the direction Jesus gives you, and you're going to need to change. There's changes we need to make. And when we make those changes, Jesus just applies that salvation and the sanctification. So I just bless you all today as you live your Christian life. You get overwhelmed, you get bogged down, just go read the story of Zacchaeus, and he's just a breath of fresh air. How there's nothing any of us are dealing with that's too ugly for God to take on. I mean, Zacchaeus, I'll start repeating myself. Zacchaeus wasn't a highly thought of character, but with his desire, that all changed in a very short period of time. And I even had to think, you know, as a tax collector, it don't say what Zacchaeus did from here on out. He could have actually continued to be a tax collector, but think of his testimony as he was going to seek out those that he had took advantage of, and give money back fourfold or whatever it said there. You know, that's the kind of tax collector I'd want to go to the next time. So he might have got busier and more blessed being a tax collector after that. We don't know. But that's what salvation does. You don't need a change. You don't always need to change your occupation. Or the change is more internally than it is externally. You can do the same. You can be doing the, basically have the same calling on your life, but it's your mentality and the blessing God can bless, put over that, and bring abundant life. Maybe that's what abundant life is, doing the same thing we've always done, but taking Jesus into it and allowing him to lead instead of us leading him. God bless you.